This is the Drew Mariani Show. Where else can you pray with thousands of other listeners every day? Listen in to the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, where we're here for you on Relevant Radio.
Thanks for joining me. Let's pray. All right, Jake's going to be praying with me today, too. I want to give you a quick reminder, if you want to get your petition in, you can always email me, drew@relevantradio.com, or just go to our Twitter page, and you can post it at Drew Mariani Show, and we'll be glad to get that on the air for you. A couple quick petitions here, and then we'll go to the phones, and we'll pray for you. I was just going through them as we're getting ready to pray here, and I'm grateful for everyone who writes. I just want you to know, I know a lot of people are asking about my book, a lot of people you know, we see everything that comes in. I can't always write back to everybody just because of how much email we get. But know that you are prayed for. Know that we see your emails, and they are read not just by me, but by my producers and by Rose at the front desk. She does a great job there. A couple of intentions here. I'm praying for right now for a young mother who delivered twins via C-section 2 weeks ago. And she's been declining since her surgery, and she remains hospitalized. That's a serious surgery. It's tough. I don't know what the complications are. They say the babies are doing well, but the doctors are confused as to why or what the cause of the mother's illness is. So her husband and the babies need her. So they're begging right now for you to pray for her and ask God for his mercy. So, Nancy, we're praying for that. Another person said, our son asked us this morning if we knew anyone in Ohio, as a good friend of his is in bad shape as his daughter went missing this weekend. She says, I didn't know anyone, but I would ask the Drew Mariani Show and the Relevant Radio family to pray this afternoon, as many missing persons have been found by praying the chaplet. Well, I'm glad you reached out to us, because, again, I don't know why, when we pray this prayer, that sometimes the Lord answers in very dramatic ways. I mean, we've had a lot of people who went missing, who are lost for days in the wilderness, who have been kidnapped, I mean, bizarre situations. And they've been safely returned, released, or found. So we want to thank God for that. We'll pray for this particular person who is this young girl that's lost right now or went missing. I hope it's not nefarious. So we'll lift her up and ask God's mercy. Another person wrote to me and says, could you please include my son in your prayers? He's in a relationship with a non-Catholic girl and now thinking about breaking up because she told him that she will not raise the kids Catholic. He wants to break up, but it's hard for him because he cares about her. You know, those are tough situations. You know, relationships are hard. You know, you get in these relationships with people of the same faith or who may not want to have kids. You might be in a relationship with, you know, somebody of another faith, and it's hard to reconcile those things. I want to just pray for relationships, that God allows you to find the future spouse that you're looking for, that if you are married, that you can be on the same page in terms of how you raise your child, that you'll be open to life. I'm going to pray for those with fertility issues in particular today, and really just ask God for his great mercy. So, Jake, is there anything you want to pray for as we begin?
Yeah, thanks, Drew. Dan Axt, he's our video producer. He walked in just a moment ago and said, hey, you know, I really need prayers for my grandmother. Her name is Margaret, and she was taken to the hospital with a major bladder infection, blood clots, and a mass in her bladder. And here's the thing, they want to do a surgery, but at this point they're not sure if she'd be able to survive it at her age. So they're praying for her comfort, peace, and healing, and if it be God's will, for a happy and holy death.
All right, well, let's lift those intentions up, and we'll pray for you. One quick thank you prayer here says, I want to thank you and your listeners for praying for John in Omaha. I called in, and he had internal bleeding. Doctors couldn't find the source after conducting surgery. We prayed the chaplet, and his bleeding has stopped. He's now home praising God. So I want to thank that. Another person wrote and said, I called back as far back as March for a woman named Cora. She was 8 years old with a ruptured appendix. She was going into emergency surgery as the chaplet was starting on your show. I want to let you know that we're happy to report she recovered with no complications, made her first communion. So thank Jesus and thank your Relevant Radio family. All right, so we'll pray. We'll continue to pray in thanksgiving for the way God heals through medicine and through his miraculous touch. We begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. All right, we'll take our first call today. It comes from Alice. She's listening in Illinois. Hi, Alice. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I'm calling for my husband, Gary, who has had prostate cancer for 3.5 years. Whoa. It has now gone into his liver. It's growing very rapidly, and I'm praying, holding out that big cup for a miracle. Yeah. That his biopsy comes back, that they can remove it, and he's cured.
All right. How many years have you been married?
30.
Oh, wow. What a beautiful marriage. Well, look, let's pray, Alice. Let's pray. We'll put your husband in the hands of our merciful Savior. And I want to pray for you, too. As a wife, I can only imagine the angst that you are going through right now. And, you know, I shared the story the other day of a friend of mine who's a surgeon whose son was going through a critical surgery. Really, how God prevailed. I mean, he often gives us medicine and technology, and we'll just ask that he be the hands of the surgeon. We'll pray for the eradication of cancer cells, and we'll pray for new life, extension of life for your husband. Lord, I extend this prayer to all who are facing surgery, waiting biopsies, all those who have to go into surgery. Lord, and I just ask for those enduring cancer treatment now. I pray against cancer in all of its forms, in all of its manifestations, and I just ask that you embrace these souls, strengthen them, and heal them as we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and for those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, we'll go to California next. Martha is praying with us there. Good afternoon, Martha.
Hello?
Hi, Martha.
Hi. Yes, I would like to offer prayer for my husband. Also, I would like to give a Thanksgiving prayer for my dad. I called a few months ago. He's suffering from cancer. He is still hanging there, but he's stable. And also a Thanksgiving prayer for my uncle. I called a few months ago. He passed away, but family gained faith after that. Mm. And this time I want to lift up my husband and all those people who are looking for a new job and have been struggling. And so I really want to lift him up, please.
Thank you, Martha, for calling. Thanks for those beautiful prayers. And you know, one really touches my heart, and that's the fact that we prayed for a soul that is now with God, but after our prayers, he received the grace to know God, to accept God, and to move towards God in a closer way. I love it. Lord, we give you all these intentions, Martha voiced. I pray for all those who are now praying with me, and I call upon the intercession of Mother Teresa of Calcutta. You know, she once said that if we are faithful in small things, you have to be faithful in small things because it's in them that your strength lies, right? So we have to endure these hardships that come our way. the small things every day of dealing with those who are sick, dealing with those financial problems, dealing with all those small crosses of life. Be faithful in them. God will be with you. And I think, you know, it becomes a prayer and it reaches the throne of God. And I know grace is going to flow. And I know that I know the Lord's going to hear your prayer. So, Lord, I just ask for the grace to be faithful in these times of trial. And I ask that we see very vividly your presence, your healing touch, and your providence. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and for those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, let's go to Jake, who is also monitoring our Twitter feed. You can always send your intentions there at Drew Mariani Show, and love to have you follow us there and, of course, pray with us. Jake, what's coming in?
Jeannie is sharing that her son is going through a pretty nasty divorce, and she says that it's full of a lot of lies and untruths, and she's concerned that he's going to lose custody of his kids. So we're praying for healing of that marriage and that relationship. Anonymous is asking prayers for his little brother, who unfortunately is distancing himself more and more from God without even realizing it. So let's pray for young people and just people who are lost and have left the faith, that they may come back. And Michelle is asking prayers as she has an offer for a job in film to work as a freelancer. And that has the potential to become full-time, but she's not sure if she should leave her full-time job right now. So we'll pray for that discernment.
All right, great intentions there. We'll lift them up and we'll add Marie also to our intentions. She's listening to us in Sacramento, California. Marie, good afternoon.
Yes, and good afternoon. I would like to lift up a friend that is in the process of completing a huge project that needs to be completed like within days. And so my prayer is that our Lord gives him the grace to finish the race in getting it done. And then secondly, I would like to also lift up my little family who just left California and are traveling across the United States of America to find a new place to call home.
Well, that's a great intention, and we're going to pray for you right now. Let's pray for that big project. Let's pray for those traveling. Let's pray for safety. And, Lord, I just pray for protection. I give you all the intentions that came in on Twitter, all those now being voiced to you. I pray for Marie, and I give you my own heart. Turn to you, trusting in the promise of this prayer and in your great mercy as we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and for those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Mary is listening in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. She's up next. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Drew. How are you?
Hey, I'm great. Well, thanks.
Excellent. Thank you for your book. It's really wonderful.
Oh, glad you got it.
I come from a large family. There's 12 brothers and sisters, and I'm 69, and I'm one of the younger ones, and there's four of them that are going through troubles right now. It seems like we're going through a bad spell here. My brother Dick, he had a stroke several weeks ago, and he lost his ability to communicate and his short-term memory, and he's going to have a brain scan on Thursday to see if the blood has come, you know, not in his brain anymore, so praying for him to have a full recovery. My sister Cecilia Fandel, she's a nun, a Servite nun. She's 80. My brother's 86. My sister's 80, and she's having a back surgery tomorrow, and she's right now in a wheelchair and a lot of pain, so we're praying for a safe, successful surgery. my sister Sylvia in California. She listens to you every day, and also the Rosary. And she's 81, and she had a bad fall going to church Sunday, and she's in bad shape. And then my brother-in-law, Jim, he's age 77, and he's had several eye surgeries, and he still can't see good. And so we're praying for this last eye surgery to be successful. He has to keep his head down all the time, so he can't move his head. So it's right. Terrible right now. So right. Praying for all those people in my family.
All right. Well, Mary, thank you for calling. I want to pray for you, too, okay? I want to pray for your health and for your blessings and for many more years. And, boy, there's a lot of suffering that's going on. You know, I think of... I think it was St. Mary Magdalene de Piazzi who once said that, you know, you'll be consoled according to the greatness of your sorrow and affliction. The greater the suffering, the greater will be the reward. So if you're going through these difficult times, your family's going through it, know that if you unite it to that of the Lord on the cross, great will be the reward. I know we don't like these trials or these difficulties. I know there's a lot of grace in these moments. And Lord, I do ask, though, for your mercy. I ask that those graces flow. But I pray for your divine touch, and I pray for comfort. I pray for the ability to have fortitude to endure this, and I also just pray for the miraculous, that you will resolve these situations, be it through your touch or through medicine. We pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and for those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, we'll go to Stony Point, New York. Gary is praying with us there. Gary, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew. Thank you for taking my call. I'll keep this brief. I'm not a good Catholic. In my current marriage, I have a brother-in-law who last year was diagnosed with terminal brain cancer. He's already had part of his brain removed, and he's deteriorating rapidly. I'd like to pray for his complete healing.
All right. Let's do that. And Gary, I want to pray for you, too. Okay, I know you don't have any intentions, your voice, but I'll lift that up, and I'll pray for your journey. All right? I know you said you're not a good Catholic, but I'll tell you what. You always have the sacrament of reconciliation. Get there. Receive those graces. And I guarantee you, God will give you all the grace that you need to be drawn closer to him. And, of course, keep it set right here, okay? We're here with you and great programming throughout the day. And, Lord, I thank you for Gary. I pray for those who are away from the faith, those who don't know the faith, those who aren't the best Catholics. I pray for my own conversion, that I may grow in greater holiness. And I pray for all those intentions, Gary, just voice, especially for this friend with terminal brain cancer. And it seems like cancer is the intention of the day. So, Lord, I thank you in advance. I pray with confidence for the healings that are taking place, for the tumors that are shrinking, for the success of the operations and the treatments. And, Jake, you said one more. We'll sneak in Teresa in Baraboo. Is that who's up next? Hi, Teresa. Thank you for calling.
Thank you, Drew, for taking my call. I have a friend who had a baby, her fourth baby in January. She had postpartum depression, and she was admitted to an inpatient psychiatric unit where she was drugged terribly and then sexually assaulted repeatedly. And it is just a horrendous, horrendous weight on her and, of course, the whole family. And I'm praying for peace for her and healing, and that the Sacred Heart of Jesus would just envelop her and heal her, and also pray for the intercession of Father Ubald to help her with forgiveness.
Yeah, no doubt. Hey, Teresa, thank you. Wow, what a powerful call. Lord, I pray for her friend's daughter, and I want to pray for not just this intention. I give you this soul, and I ask for healing. Call upon Father Ubal, but I do pray for anyone who's been sexually abused, anybody who has been raped, anyone who has been violated, anyone And I pray also just for the perpetrators. And I know it's hard to pray for those people. Lord, I pray for their conversion. I pray for justice, too. But I give you the intentions Teresa brought forth and Gary and everyone on hold and everyone who's now united with me. You know our needs and our wants. You know our desires. You know the graces that we need. We know you bring good out of every situation. We trust in your mercy. So I turn to you now and I pray for these souls, Lord. Embrace them. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and for those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless, and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady, Queen of Heaven.
Pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help.
Pray for us.
Mother of Mercy.
Pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe.
Pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful.
Pray for us.
St. Joseph.
Pray for us.
St. Faustina.
Pray for us.
St. John Paul II.
Pray for us.
St. Peregrine.
Pray for us.
St. Jose Maria Escriva.
Pray for us.
Father Ubald.
Pray for us.
St. Patrick.
Pray for us.
Blessed Michael Sapochko.
Pray for us.
All you angels and saints.
Pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Tweet us your prayer intention anytime on Twitter at Drew Mariani Show.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the relevant radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
What's up, people? I'm Carl Nassib. I'm at my house here in Westchester, Pennsylvania. Just want to take a quick moment to say that I'm gay. I've been meaning to do this for a while now, but I finally feel comfortable enough to get it off my chest.
It's the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
I mean no disrespect, but who cares? Right? Who cares about your sexual orientation? Why do we have to lead with that? This is a big story today. You know, NFL star Carl, I think his last name is Nassib. He's a Raider, Las Vegas Raider. Came out and told us about his sexuality. You know, when I watch football, and we'll get into this, I'm going to be joined by a former NFL quarterback. I want to see, you know, I want to see touchdowns. I want to see points scored. I want to see sacks. I want to see receptions. That's what I care about. I care about the game. I don't care about the color of the person's skin that's playing the game. And I don't care about their sexual orientation. And yet suddenly we put sexual orientation in the same category as race and everything else. It's so weird. I mean, honestly, I'm frustrated by it. Who cares? Who cares, right? I mean, before I get to that story, I want to start with another story, though, because this one really irritated me, okay? And I'd love your input as well. You can join us, 888-914-9149, and feel free to sound off. The Olympics, right? I'm a patriot. I love this country. My father served in the Navy. My daughter was a U.S. Marine. You know, I this is the greatest nation in the history of the world. It really is. This is a generous country. It is a nation filled with freedoms. That's why you don't see people, you know, racing to the Russian border or the Chinese border to try to get in, or any other country. They come to America. You know, we're what, 5%, 4% of the world population? Yeah, we have more immigration. We take more foreign immigrants than anyone does. And people want to come to this country because of the greatness that is America. So there's this U.S. Olympic trials that are underway. They're going on right now in Eugene, Oregon. And as you know, it has been really hot in the Pacific Northwest. There's also a hot discussion going on right now after the third place hammer thrower, a woman named Gwen Berry. She was on the stand, right? She came in third place. She was going to win the bronze medal. And as a national anthem played, you know what she did? She turned away from our flag. She turned her back as a national anthem was playing on our flag. Berry, who is black, didn't know that the anthem would be played. And she says, you know, she felt like, you know, she was set up. She says, look, I'm here to represent those, you know, who died to systematic racism. That's the important. That's why I'm here. And let me just stop you there. No, you're not. You're there to represent the United States of America. You're there to represent every American, whether they are black or whether they are white, right? It doesn't matter the color of their skin. You are there to represent this country, and you are there because of the men and women who gave their lives for this country and for the freedoms that we get to enjoy. So she came in, she got the bronze, right? It means, of course, that the Olympics now, and this is terrible. I don't think it should be permitted. They're going to be turned into a political game. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki, she actually defended the snub of the flag. How do you do that? Does this administration not care about this country? Or do they hate this country? I don't understand this. How can the House Press Secretary, you know, defend this action? Here's what she said. Listen.
I haven't spoken to the president specifically about this, but I know he's incredibly proud to be an American and has great respect for the anthem and all that it represents, especially for our men and women serving in uniform all around the world. He would also say, of course, that part of that pride in our country means recognizing there are moments where we are, as a country, haven't lived up to our highest ideals, and it means respecting the right of people granted to them in the Constitution to peacefully protest.
Yeah. Whatever. That's Jen Psaki. This is an issue that's not going to go away. I don't want to see the Olympics turn into a political game. I worry about watching medal ceremonies, especially with Americans now. Will it happen if there's a silver medalist or another anthem is played for another country? I mean, we're going to see the other nations do this? I don't think so. I really don't. And I think when you go to represent America, you should represent our nation. You should respect our flag and respect our anthem, or don't go. Let somebody else go in their place. But, you know, you can join me, too. Feel free to sound off. It's 888-914-9149. But that's not the only sport, you know, or only event where this is happening. As we get closer to the end of so-called Pride Month, and this has become a month-long event. It was, you know, first a day, and then it was a week, and now we've got the so-called Pride Month, the whole month of June. You know, for me as a Catholic, this used to always be the month of the Sacred Heart. Now it's Pride Month. The NFL, they put out a short 30-second video, and they did this to appease the gay lobby. No one appears in it. It's just a black screen with two words. And you know what the words are? Well, maybe it's three words. Football is... Right? That appears. And then the third word comes on. And the word gay. Football is gay. That's what the NFL is producing. That's what they're putting out. Then comes lesbian and a whole bunch of other words related to the gay lobby. Bisexual, queer, transgender, etc. Right? According to this, football is also freedom. You know, and even everything. Then their logo appears at the end, and the NFL shield has been emblazoned with a rainbow, you know, diagonal stripe, and this is the NFL. Yeah, so, to me, again, I want to be charitable. I want to be loving. I know we all have friends or colleagues or relatives that have same-sex attraction, but really, I mean, do we have to come out and say, you know, I'm an NFL player and I'm gay. Do I have to come on the air and say, hey, I'm a broadcaster, I'm gay? Or, you know, what? I mean, do you have to lead with your sexuality? I don't understand. I don't know why this has become so important. I don't see people waving the heterosexual flag, you know, and I don't want to be uncharitable. Again, I don't want to come off too hard here. I wish we'd just keep this out of football, keep it out of politics. I wish we could live our lives, right? Because this kind of kowtowing to the current culture is what got the NFL in trouble. When players started taking a knee during the national anthem at the beginning of games, Colin Kaepernick, you remember that? You remember how long that went on? That his decision to do that, it spread throughout the league like a virus. It was amazing. And then it went into other sports. It led to the greatest decline in viewership and attendance in the NFL's history, in the league's history. I think a lot of Americans felt the same way. I don't want to see this. You know, I want to watch the game. You know, don't disrespect the flag. Don't respect this. And I know it's, look, we've argued about this. We've not argued. We discussed this. We've had a lot of people from both sides say, it wasn't about the anthem. It was about, no, I get it. You saw the fallout from it. Let's leave sports sports, right? I'm joined by Chris Greason. He is he's a former quarterback. He was with the Arizona Cardinals and the Dallas Cowboys, and he also played in the Arena League and the United Football League, and is a really great Catholic. I know the man. He's been with us in the past, and I thought, well, let me speak to an athlete. Let me speak to a man who played in the NFL. Let's get his take on this. And if you want to join us too, you can always dial in at 888-914-9149. Chris, thanks for your time. Always good to have you here. Good afternoon.
Hey, thanks, Drew. I appreciate the opportunity to talk with you guys.
So, I mean, I love your take. I know you have a beautiful wife, beautiful family. When we saw this NFL player come out and identify as being gay, when Carl Nassib, you know, from the Raiders said, "Hey, I'm gay," I thought, "Who cares?" I mean, why do you have to lead with that? Give me your take on that. And I don't want to be myopic, and I don't want to be uncharitable, but you know, this is such a big deal. Now the NFL is coming out with ads participating in Pride Month, and I think they're probably doing that because that's also a target audience for them. I can understand why they may do that from an economic reason, but give me your sense on what's happening in sports. It is a powerful platform to reach a lot of people, and I know people like to use it for that, but I don't know whether you were surprised by the video, or just give me your take.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. I mean, you just look at our culture and where it's going, right? And, you know, the first thing I thought about is how you look at secular culture, how it's continuing to make things that are evil and disordered. What I mean by that is, you know, and you know from a theological standpoint, but, you know, a disorder is not, you know, a handicap or anything like that.
Right.
But it's something that is not ordered how God created it. And you look at all these things that are disordered, but all of a sudden they're made good. Right. And it's just, this is what's you know, secular culture is trying to go away from faith, from God, from his natural law. And it doesn't surprise me one bit. What surprises, and I guess it doesn't surprise me, like how people are like, oh, this is so great. This is so great that this is happening. And it's like, what?
Right.
Like, you know, again, everyone has their crosses to bear. And certainly one that of someone who has a homosexual inclination and a same-sex attraction is, you know, that's a tough cross to bear. And like you said, we are called to respect them and love them and stuff. I mean, and that's, you know, a lot of people don't understand what the Catholic faith really teaches.
Right.
When it comes to that, you know, I know listening to your show before, you've had many experts on, you know, and people that know the faith and much better than us. But, you know, in the catechism, you know, it says in, you know, three paragraphs and how we have to respect them and show them dignity because they are our brothers and sisters, right? But they just have a cross to bear. Like many people have a cross to bear with alcoholism or, you know, being lustful, you know, like to opposites, you know, people of opposite sex. So, you know, it doesn't surprise me necessarily. I'm disappointed and certainly in the reaction and how the NFL is running with this. To me, like economically, you mentioned it, like what's their net gain?
Right.
I mean, are they thinking they're going to get that much more viewership because of football is now, as they say in that little video, football is gay, football is lesbian. Like,
right.
What? I mean, after just you mentioned it, the fallout from the flag controversy.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, there are so many people that don't want to watch football. I'm going to watch football primarily because I'm a football guy.
Yeah,
I'm a football coach, you know, and so I love watching the strategy of the game and all that kind of stuff. But when it comes down to, you know, actually, like, I'm cheering on. I want to watch the NFL. No, I could care less now.
Yeah.
Like, if that's what they're pushing. And the other thing is, and you mentioned the Olympics.
Yeah.
I mean, my wife and I were just talking about it. It's like, we have to be careful watching the commercials now.
I know.
You know, like the commercial, I'm worried that I can't just watch the Olympics and when all of a sudden they cut to commercial, you know, I don't have to pay attention.
Right.
You know, I got young kids, that's impressionable right. kids. And so I have to be careful watching these because the agenda that's going to be pushed. So I hate to do that. I have to do that with the NFL now.
Yeah.
No, you know, if they're pushing this, well, obviously they're going to start getting advertisements for this. So I'm saddened by it.
Hey, I'm like you though, because I love the NFL. I mean, it's fun. Fall, you know, there's fires, there's football, it's a great time. But
tailgates,
friends. It's just, but you know, gosh, they continue to take something that is really so American. And go down this path, you know, part of me is like I said this morning, I said to my own wife, I said, you know, part of me doesn't even want to watch the NFL right now. I don't need the NFL. But, of course, the fall will roll around and I'll get sucked into it, you know. But this is what drove those numbers down. We saw how Americans said, I'm not going to watch NFL. I'm going to watch college football instead, or I'm going to watch something else. I know a lot of people who did that. They gave up season tickets. They gave up their NFL package. And they tried to vote with their pocketbook. I don't understand the strategy behind the NFL doing this, but we'll see. Let's grab a few calls for you. The number here is 888-914-9149. If you want to get in, feel free to sound off. If you're on hold, I'll get you on the air. Mike is listening in New Berlin, Wisconsin. Mike, good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon. I just want to say, as far as the Green Bay Packers go, I know that they do not honor the flag at the games. They stay in the locker room, and that really disturbs me. They don't honor the flag. You know, my father served in World War II. Yep. All these people gave up their lives so that they can play and make these millions of dollars, but yet they take this stand of and I don't know about, like, you know, the Bucks are in the playoffs. On TV, they don't show if the team's honoring the flag or not. Unless you go to the game, you don't know.
But, I don't think they televise that anymore after the controversy as a result. And Chris, you are in the Green Bay area, and I don't know whether the Packers stay in the locker for the anthem or not. I thought they took the field, but maybe you have more information than me.
Yeah, no, they stayed in the locker room.
Wow.
You know, they stay in the locker room. I think we saw that in the NFC Championship game. The Buccaneers, they only showed the Buccaneers because Green Bay was not in. And, you know, they don't want to be controversial. Yep. I know there's some guys that want to kneel and show their things. So that I think the Packers just said, no, we're not, you know, we're just not going to go out. So we don't have this controversy. It's just troubling. You know, to me, I was thinking about this, about you look at, In this new presidency, you know, President Biden talked about, hey, I'm going to unify this nation.
Yeah.
Well, if you look at when our nation is most unified, it's in war, right? It's in war. World War II, you look at how our nation came together, you know, whites and blacks and men and women. The women were taking, you know, going into the, you know, the plants and different things and making planes and different things. And just so many people sacrificed for our country to win. So unifying there, but then the next best thing, and you mentioned before, is Olympics.
Yeah.
So, which is like competition, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And then the next best thing is, oh, so now locally here, you know, domestically, when we have games, whether it's a World Series, Super Bowl, or even during the regular season, Packer game or Chiefs game or whatever, like everyone in the stands, mostly everyone, mm-hmm. but are Americans. There's nothing, with that list. There's just, it's a way to unify. So it doesn't matter if you're black or white, male or female, homosexual, heterosexual. We are all Americans, and we just stand up. Now, are there issues? Absolutely. You know, are there some injustices in the world?
Yep.
Absolutely, and we should take care of those.
Amen.
We should have discussions about those. But to hide them or to try to, you know, to glorify, you know, the bad things. And I think it's just twisted.
Yeah.
And it's really too bad because, you know, Drew Brees, and you remember Drew Brees,
sure.
how he got lambasted for coming out and saying, these guys should be standing. And of course, he retracted his comments because even his teammates are like, I can't believe he's a racist. Well, he's not a racist.
Right.
No, he had a grandfather that served
and
sacrificed his life for your freedoms, and you're not respecting that. And I just, it's sad. It's sad. And granted, you know, a lot of people may call me a racist. Yeah. There's no way I'm a racist. You go talk to my black teammates. I just at a camp with two black men who, man, we had so much fun hugging each other and like, you know, having fun picking on each other. And there was no racism there. They were my brothers, and we're working together to help these young kids in camp. I think it's ridiculous. And I think there's nothing more unifying than war. And then you got Olympics, and then you got the national anthem. Let's all be Americans, stand. And then let's talk about these injustices.
I'm talking today with Chris Greason, former quarterback with the Arizona Cardinals and the Dallas Cowboys. We're going to be back. We'll take your calls, taking a look at not just the NFL with a new campaign saying the NFL is gay, but really some, I think, tremendous disrespect going on in the U.S. Olympic trials. I don't think this is the place to disrespect our anthem or the flag. And we'll talk about that. We'll take your input as well. And our conversation will continue right after this. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the relevant radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
People stomping on the American flag, disrespecting the American flag. If you don't like America, get your passport, take your bags, and be gone.
They've served and they've sacrificed and they've risked their lives for our freedom.
My home, sweet home.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, I have to agree with that lady. I love her passion, right? Hey, if you're just joining me, let me just tell you what's going on. We'll grab your calls here. The U.S. Olympic trials are going on right now in Oregon. There was an athlete there who won the bronze medal. Her name is Gwen Berry for the, I think she was a hammer thrower. And when the national anthem played, she turned her back. And boy, people really upset about that. She's black, didn't know. She said the anthem was playing, but she felt she was set up. And she said she was there to represent those who've died to systematic racism. You know, and that's the important part. That's what I'm doing. I should say systemic is the word I'm looking for. But, you know, we're seeing the Olympics now become a platform for politics, for certain ideologies, for agenda. You know, I think when we go, this is my personal take on this. I think it's a place for international competition. It's a place where you represent your nation. And America's a great nation. Yeah. Do we have problems? You know, do we have some dark chapters in American history? Absolutely. Do we have things that need to be fixed? Certainly. But you are there to represent the greatest nation on the earth, not to disrespect it. And I have a real problem with that. I'm joined today by a friend, former NFL quarterback for the Cardinals and the Cowboys, and just a great Catholic. And he's in my area here. I've known Chris, and I love his faith-filled perspective on these issues. So I invited him to join us as a professional athlete just to give us his insight on this as well. And, Chris, I guess let's just go to the phones because I know how quickly time's going to go here. And we'll start where to? How about Jake, who's up next? Tracy in Oakland, California. Tracy, good afternoon.
Hi, Drew.
Hi, Tracy.
I wanted to say that I don't think that the it's so much the NFL that has a strategy and a plan that they're trying to implement with this LGBTQ flag. I think it's more the LGBTQ lobby has a plan and a strategy, and they're trying to rope in all of the different businesses to change their logos to include this so that the flag of perversion is accepted by everyone, so that everyone can be subject to perversion much more readily because they don't see anything wrong with it.
All right. Well, Tracy, thank you. I'll let Chris respond to you on that point. Your thoughts, Chris?
I would probably agree a little bit, you know, because there's such pressure. You look at corporate America and, you know, like you better bow down to, you know, the secular culture, you know, this gay pride month and all, you better do it. Otherwise we're going to bully you. And you just look at our, you know, this past year, like the violence that has gone on, you know, if you don't agree with someone, you know, in certain issues, like they're going to bully you. And I wouldn't doubt that that's part of it. You know, and unfortunately, the NFL is too weak to say, no, that's not what we're going to do. Yes, we have a player that just came out, but again, like you know, Drew said before, like, who cares?
Yeah.
Who cares? Like, I don't care what, you know, like when I'm in the locker room.
Right.
Like, I'm in the locker room. All I care about is you doing your job so that we win.
Yep.
Like, that's it. I don't care if you're black. I don't care if you're Mexican. Right. I don't care, or Hispanic or whatever. I just want to win.
Yep.
And so, you know, whatever you do outside, that's fine. You know, like, go ahead. You know what? I'm not going to be your father, right? I'm just your teammate.
Right.
But what you do on the outside better not affect us winning a football game. Otherwise, yeah, I'm going to be ticked off.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if it, you know, because that lobby is certainly pushing their agenda everywhere in this country.
All right, Tina in Delaware. Thanks for listening to us there. It's good to have you on the air. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. How are you, honey?
I'm well.
Just want to say, I'm good, honey. I'm just so sick and tired of all of it. From a football-loving family, this is just ridiculous. I truly do think that they're all shooting themselves in the foot because people are going to get sick of hearing the baloney and turn them all off. It's going to shoot them in the foot.
Yeah. Yeah. If they continue down this path, I would agree that we saw what happened, you know, with the ratings drop and people giving up tickets and NFL packages. I you know, Kristen, it's an interesting point. I mean, will it affect them? Are people desensitized? Is this become accepting? There was some recent polling that was done that shows how attitudes have really begun to change and become far more acceptive. So I don't know whether or not it will help, it'll hurt, or whether it'll just remain neutral. It's just part of where we are.
Yeah, I just don't, I mentioned this before, I don't see the net gain for the NFL in doing this. And listen, as we all know, like, ticket prices continue to go up. You know, locally here with the Packers, like, you not only have to pay for ticket prices, but you have to pay for the right to own, you know, to buy tickets. You know, I know that's, you know, I can't forget what the seat tax, if you want to call it that, is. But, I mean, it is expensive to go to an NFL football game. And there's going to be a lot of people who say, man, do I really want to go support that? I'll just sit home, watch television when I can, and, you know, watch maybe the Packers.
Yeah.
And I know there's some diehards and stuff like that, but my gosh, like, you know, again, and for a family like mine, I got younger kids. Do I really want them to be exposed to that?
Yeah.
It's just, you know, and the thing is with football too, and we mentioned the video that they put out, like, football is gay, football is lesbian. No, football is tough.
Yeah.
Football is, you have to be resilient. Football is all encompassing. You know, like, I mean, you know, as far as races, I mean, you want to glorify football, do that. Especially look at our culture and how divided we are from a race standpoint. Look at a football team. And again, I went back in a quick story. I know we got callers on, but, you know, I look at my experiences in football and how I was just at this camp telling the story about my a teammate who came from Virginia. He's straight from the hood, you know, didn't grow up like I did. I grew up in a small middle-class family, and mom and a dad, I'm white. This guy had tattoos, gold teeth, and he's my brother. I would go to war for him. You know, and he'd do anything for me, but we're totally different. Let's glorify that unity that comes with football and having one goal, but not this. I'm very disappointed in the NFL.
You know, as long as the NFL has the number one ratings that it does, its stadiums are full, I don't think anything's going to change. It's still the biggest TV ratings, you know, anywhere. The NFL, it captivates a huge, huge base. And we'll see what happens. We will see how people respond to this. As a former NFL player, you probably, I'm sure, played with people who were gay, you know, and they probably didn't come out and publicly say that. But to your point, and I'll go back to it, who cares about the color of someone's skin? Who cares about the sexual orientation? I care about watching a great game, and that's what the sport should be about. It should be about, you know, unity and camaraderie and rooting for your, you know, your team. Let's grab another quick call. Oregon is where the protest took place for this by this Olympian, and Mary is listening to us there. Let me sneak her on for a quick comment. Mary, good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon. I'm so grateful that you took my call. I wanted to speak really quickly. I think I have a lot to say, so I hope I can say as much as I can with the time that I have. But I did come as an immigrant to the U.S., and I did come because I was attracted by all the freedoms that you mentioned earlier. But what I did find, really, is that America really does hide all these other atrocities that you're talking about. So when you say, when you kind of use words like, this is ridiculous, this is perversion, or it makes it hard for some of us who are immigrants and with children who are struggling with sexuality and struggling with these kinds of issues, and I'm trying to raise them in a loving Christian home. So I do want them to understand that their identity is in Christ, and I do want them to understand that I love them anyway as a parent. But I have a hard time listening to the radio when my children are around. And I have a hard time now taking them to church because they feel like this is how every single person feels. There has to be room to have conversations where we share our truth without shaming the people who didn't choose to be born this way.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right about that, Mary. And as Chris had said in the very beginning, if you read the Catechism, Chris, you might have a quote in front of you. The church is very clear about how we are to show love and compassion. The church does not discriminate at all. And that those who have same-sex attraction can rise to great Christian perfection by embracing it.